Well, hello everyone. I'm scrolling through, I'm seeing waves. This is good. Hello, hello. It's good to see some smiling faces. I just click past the ones that are, you know, frowning. It's good to see you guys. Like I said last week, sometimes I'm looking for people's haircuts to see whether or not they got anything different. I'm still going for the Eric Foreman from That 70s Show, that look. That's why I keep the beard, so we don't look exactly alike, but believe me, we do. So I'm glad to see all of you this morning. This is, as you see, our order of service. We got some good stuff coming up today. And as I often say, as we are joining one another for this service, that regardless of where you are participating in worship from the time that we say hello to one another to the time that we wave and say goodbye and even join one another on the next call for just some sharing and connecting time. But you've set this time aside for God, and God receives that as worship. And whether we are singing or whether we're praying or whether we're listening or engaging one another or sitting under scripture and engaging with it, all of this is worship and it pleases God. And we're asking for him to be pleased this morning and to be here with us in our respective locations. I'm trusting that when Jesus says that where two or more are gathered, I am there among them. I'm trusting that that can apply to Zoom. And I honestly believe that it does. That Jesus, the Psalms say that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. And as we are going to be gathering together and worshiping together, he inhabits that. In other words, he's living among us at the moment. And so we are going to celebrate him this morning. So let's begin with our call to worship, or our God's greeting first. This is how God greets you this morning. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace be with you." These were the people who betrayed him. And this is his greeting to them. "Peace be with you. Just as the Father sent me, now I am sending you." And after he said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And today is Pentecost Sunday. And we're going to celebrate when the Spirit was sent. And we are going to ask for God to be present with us by his Spirit again this morning. Please join me in our call to worship. And please respond from the comfort of your own homes. Our God is not far from us. In him we live and move and have our being. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him. He greets us with peace and pours out his Spirit. We worship our Pentecost God. Amen. We are now going to move from one form of worship to another form, and we're going to sing. So, Marco, would you begin our first song for us this morning?
Breaker. Spirit break out. Heaven come down.
Amen. We're now going to move to our God story. We're trying to share stories from time to time about how God's at work in different places. And this week I invited Scott from Hope Mission to come join us this morning. So Scott's waving at you. And if you make sure that your gallery setting is such that it flips to the person who is speaking, when Scott says hi in a moment, it'll flip to him. Scott is the new manager of Hope Mission Red Deer, and he's a grad of RDC, just graduated, I believe, with training in sociology. And he told me he's also getting married this coming month, so it's some very exciting things for him going on: graduation, marriage, new position, and pandemic. So welcome to your new role, Scott.
Thanks.
Hope Mission. Could you tell us a little bit about what your role is there? Tell us a little bit more about yourself and just say hello.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here, quote unquote. But yeah, within the past month, I was just recently promoted to manager here in Red Deer, just before the pandemic hit, thankfully. So I've been working with Hope Mission three years, and I volunteered for a year before that. So I've just been around in different positions, Kids in Action and our Youth in Action programs, and led some summer camp programs as well. But yeah, since the beginning of 2020, they've kind of been training me and equipped me to get into this position here. And this has not been how I would ever imagined starting out this new position. I thought it was just going to be programs in the schools and, you know, just our normal day-to-day stuff. But I think it's just been amazing at how God has timed it, where he really just, you know, broke down my expectations of what things were going to be like. And here we are now, and we're doing things completely different.
That's great. Well, I'm so glad to hear that. I saw a title of something the other day that said, that it talked about God using leaders, and it described the sort of title of what they were doing was weak enough to lead, in a sense that as we sometimes feel unequipped or like we're not ready for this, that's where God steps in. And God has been stepping in some very cool ways for you guys recently. So could you tell us a little bit about what's been happening with Hope Mission since things really changed for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, obviously all the schools are closed. So we can't do our programs in the gyms that we were usually able to do. So we spent some time just praying and really seeking the Lord across the province and all of our preventative ministries, just asking him what we could do and where we could help our communities. And what we came down to and what we decided to do is to deliver food hampers. So every week we've been delivering food hampers across the province, and here in Red Deer we're averaging out at around 20 food hampers a week. And each food hamper contains dry goods, fresh goods. We just recently added dairy products and eggs. And the boxes, they contain about 20 meals worth of food. And then we go and deliver it and drop it off at the front doors. And we've also started doing what we're calling sidewalk visits, which is my favorite part of right now and in this season. Is we just bring the kids out on their front step, and, you know, we stand an appropriate distance away and we play quick games with them. So we've done heads up and Pictionary. We're going to do charades. So really fun stuff, and they get to win some prizes. And it's been amazing to see the depth of the relationships that have been developing.
Very, very cool. I love the way that you guys are making the most of this opportunity finding an opportunity in the midst of a crisis to continue connecting with people and providing for some basic needs. So you had been sharing with me that you had a couple of stories of just really cool things that had happened during some of those visits. So what would you like to share with us? Tell us more.
I have one story that it's just been so heavy on my heart just because it is continuing to develop. And man, the Lord works in amazing ways. This is a family that had reached out to us from an ad they saw or a newspaper article, I don't even know what, but they reached out to me and they emailed me and asking for a food hamper. So I gave them a call, and this single mom kind of shared their story. It's a single mom and a very young daughter who's just going into kindergarten in September. And they had just recently moved to Red Deer after escaping a very unsafe situation in another city. So it was just shocking to hear that, you know, what they've already been through, and now here they are with nothing, and with no connections, no community or anything. So I'm thankful that they reached out, and through the conversations that we've had with them, it was just really on my heart just to bless them as much as we could. So in addition to the food hamper, what we did is we asked for her daughter's favorite color, and we just put a bunch of stuff into a new backpack for her, so that like activities and stuffed animals and stuff like that to keep her busy. As you know, nothing's open, playgrounds are closed, and they're adjusting to this new city. We were also able to connect them with some new churches. I sent out a big list to them, and that they're still looking for a church. Unity was on that list, so hopefully they'll come around eventually. But here's a quote that this mom emailed me back with after our delivery. She says, "Thank you so much. My daughter was so excited with the backpack and amazed that you knew her favorite color. She was yelling out the window to her neighbor, 'This is the best day ever. I even got two stuffies.'" So just a simple little story, but it is something that's developing and continuing to touch our hearts. And we actually found out this past week that the school that they're applying for kindergarten at is a school that we have Kids in Action in, which I really think is the Lord just trying to get this family connected with our programs. Because this daughter has been through a lot of stuff, through a lot of change, and she's handling it as best as she can. But I think having Kids in Action and having mentors and peer-to-peer relationships that are healthy, and we are able to have a spiritual influence on them and stuff like that, it's just going to have profound lifelong influences on them.
Wow, that's so cool. And you told me another story about a dad who sort of chased you down as you were leaving it and thanked you. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's another really good one. So during our sidewalk visits, this was one of the first ones that we've done. We were sitting on the front lawn playing Pictionary, and some of the neighborhood kids that were biking around saw what we were doing, and they came in and sat and joined, and they were having a blast. And the dad of this family was working off in the garage, and as we were about to leave, we were driving away, and he came over and he knocked on our window just to say thank you. He made sure that we stopped, and it just meant so much to him. And in that moment, we really learned that, oh my goodness, this isn't just about connecting with the kids. Like, this has really deep influences on the parents as well. And it's been so many stories like that where the parents are more affected, and you know, our relationships with the parents actually deepen in a different and new way than we ever could have through our normal programming.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing those stories. And yeah, you've been a radio celebrity recently. You're on Shine FM talking about the needs that you guys have. And so could you share with us a little bit more? Like, what are the needs? How can we come alongside you and support you guys right now?
Yeah, absolutely. There's what comes to mind is three different areas. And what we did just on Shine FM this past week was a radiothon raising money to keep going with the food hampers. And so that is one simple way to give. And it's what we're kind of advertising is a $54 gift, which provides food for one hamper, which is, again, 20 meals. It doesn't have to be $54, more or less, obviously. And the second one, which I kind of really want to highlight, and I'll share my screen here because I have this list. This one. Can everybody see that? Yeah. Okay, perfect. So what we're kind of working on for the summer months is our goal is to provide a kit of different supplies and activities, one kit per family, per home that we're connected with, which is about 60 homes and growing. So these are kind of just a rough list of what we're looking for to include in these summer fun kits. And what I would ask is if it's on your heart and if the Lord leads you to this, is to provide some of these supplies so that we're able to give them out at our normal hamper deliveries. What the kids have been complaining about most at each of these homes, 9 homes out of 10, I would say, has been boredom. They are bored out of their minds. Their school only takes an hour, hour and a half, and then they're just on YouTube, they're on Netflix. Some of them have bikes, some of them are able to go out and play with their siblings, but others, there was a family in Calgary who hadn't left their home in a month because they were just fed misinformation and just so afraid. And so boredom is a really big issue that the kids are facing. And we find when kids are bored, they're getting into trouble. So here are just a few things that if you wanted to support in this way, some of the things that you could get, and it's just mostly dollar store stuff like bug spray and chalk and skipping rope, bubbles, flip-flops, sunglasses, just normal summer fun stuff to keep the kids busy. Mm-hmm. And the third way, something that we really believe in here at Hope Mission is just the power of prayer. And we value prayers so significantly. But what we're doing now is we're doing a weekly prayer series is what we're calling. So if anybody wanted to pray with us for the people that we're serving, we'll send out a list, and you can sign up to be on the list at hopemission.com/prayer. If you just go to the Hope Mission website, you can probably find it through that too.
That's awesome. Thank you, Scott. We believe in that power of prayer too, and we are going to continue supporting you guys through prayer. And I'm sure there are some people here that are going, yeah, I want to get on board and help Hope Mission because we love what you guys are doing. So thanks for being an example to us of being Jesus' hands and feet in really creative ways during this strange time. Thanks for being here, Scott. Much appreciated.
Thanks, Ben.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. We're going to turn it over to Stu Duffin, who's going to lead us in our congregational prayer. And I know that Stu has a heart for Hope Mission, and so he will definitely include hope in the congregational prayer. So we'll turn it over to you now, Stu.
Okay, just before we go into prayer, I just want to read a part in Acts 2, where on the day of Pentecost, Peter was preaching to the people, and he read an account there of King David and what he said about God and Jesus. And he said, "I see that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and my tongue shouts his praises. My body rests in hope. You have shown me the way of life, and you will fill me with joy, with the joy of your presence." So if we can just go to prayer now. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for being able to gather together in this way. We are not in Unity Baptist, the building, but we are your body. And we just praise you that we can come together like this. I thank you for Marco and Christine and Ben and everyone who puts all of this stuff together and makes it possible for us to get together, to see each other and to converse and hear your word. I thank you, Lord, for Jesus, for our salvation. That God, you made it possible through Jesus for us to come together like this, that we can come boldly to you, that we can come together and for each one of us, there is an opportunity for relationship with you. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, for each person here today, that God, you would bless them right where they're at, that you would meet them as they come to the cross. I thank you for your provisions and care during this time. And I even think of Hope Mission right now and the things that they're doing with kids and families. I pray, God, that you would bless them so much more than they can imagine with this program of hampers, whether it's food or summertime fun kits and all of these things. And I thank you for Scott and just for his part in this. And I pray a huge blessing on him as so many things are coming up very quickly for him. That God, you would just bless him in the ministry and just everything that's happening here with Hope and in his own personal life. God, just bless this guy. And I pray for things that are happening in Edmonton as well with Hope Mission and Jameson Place and just the plans for us here in Red Deer moving forward with Hope Mission as well, God. I just pray your hand in that and that you would orchestrate whatever it is that you have and our part in that, Lord. God, we just ask you that you would hear our prayers as we come to the throne this morning. There are many things that are on our hearts and our minds, Father, and I just want to bring some of those here before you. God, we thank you for our government and the things that are happening there, and I just pray for them as they lead. And Father, I just pray that you would have a part in this, that they would seek after you in the way that they lead during these times. I think of our health workers, the nurses, and everyone working on the front lines. God, I just pray protection over them. And that, Father, you would bless them. And I know there's even people within our own church that are part of that. I pray for people affected by COVID, whether it's jobs or finances. I pray for hope for them, as this, we trust, is just a window of time. And for families and arrangements and stress, there's so many things that are affected by this COVID that doesn't allow things to happen quite the same. And I just think of families that are dealing with kids at home and how to manage that and work and all of these things. Lord, I pray, God, that you would work in those places. I pray for our grads at all levels. You work so hard and you get to this point where there's the big celebration and it can't happen. And I just am so thankful for the way that some of them are coming about and happening. And there is acknowledgement and there is celebration. It's just on a different level. So I just pray for all those grads that, Father, you would bless them. I think of some of the people in our church and the issues that are happening there. I think of Don Cartwright's cousin, Derek. Father, that you would just work in his life. Give healing and give peace and comfort. And may he come to see you, Father. I pray for Jerry, Ron Plett's brother, and his family and the things that are happening there. God, please have your hand on them. And it was mentioned Arthur's neighbor that passed away, leaving his wife and kids. Father, I pray for comfort and peace and, Lord, opportunity maybe there to speak into their lives. Just pray for them. And we have a friend, Lord, that has a little one that's 2 months old with cancer. Father, I just pray for your healing touch upon Isla. And please work in that way. And I know people are tired and hurting and afraid at times, and I'm sure there's unspoken requests that are on people's hearts right now. I pray, God, that you would just hear those requests as they are uttered to you right now by those that are on the screen. And Father, as we celebrate Pentecost Sunday today, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that you sent for us. I thank you, God, that you gave us a way to see you more, gave us a way that we would have you with us at all times. And I just thank you, Lord, for your word and the accounts of your presence with your people. And we pray for that even here today, God, that you would just show yourself, that we'd see more of you. And I pray for Ben as he leads us today. I pray that you would just speak through him, Father, and help us to be open to hear the message that you have for us. And I thank you, God, for how you care for each one of us. And Lord, I just pray for all of us as members and regular attenders at Unity, that we would continue, Father, to support our church financially, even in these times when we're not going in, and just to be faithful that way as well. God, we just thank you for all the goodness, all the blessings, And we just praise you right now for this time. Be with Ben as he brings a message to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Stu. Let's turn it over to Kristen for our children's moment.
Good morning, friends. If you want to come a little bit closer to the screen that you're watching on this morning, you're more than welcome to. Did you have a great Saturday yesterday? I know our family did. We sure enjoyed that amazing summer sunshine. All right, our kids' moment today has some of my words, but they're mostly words from Sally Lloyd Jones. All right. So these aren't my words. I'm going to try and tailor it for kids at Unity, but they are written by Sally Lloyd Jones. Our family's been reading Psalm 103, and we're at verse 12. And Psalm 103 talks about God's great love and his forgiveness for us. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, that's how far God has removed our sins from us." When God says he forgives us, he's saying, "I've sent all of the wrong things you ever did, and I've sent them far away from me. I've hurled them away where no one can ever look on them, not even me." So I want you to think for a moment. Where is the farthest place you've ever traveled? Maybe some of you right now are saying, "Banff, I've traveled to Banff, the mountains." Maybe some of you are saying, "I've been to the ocean in Victoria, or Ontario, or Mexico, Maui, Poland, Africa." Guess what? God has sent your sins farther than that place that you've traveled to. Did you watch the SpaceX Dragon launch yesterday? Our family did. And did you see the picture from the top of the capsule looking back to Earth? Can you imagine flying 19 hours to the International Space Station at supersonic speed? Guess what? God has sent your sins farther. He sent your sins farther than the International Space Station, or galaxies billions and millions of light years away. You won't ever see them again. Why does he send them? Why does he say that he'll take our sins and remove them as far as the east is from the west? You kind of have to look at verse 11. So you can go and check it out after this. But Psalm 103, verse 11 says, "Because it's because of his great, loyal, and steadfast love. That's why he's removed our sins from us." Friends, I want to let you also know about something that we're excited about at Unity. Before I pass it back to Pastor Ben, we've been meeting for kids' church for little pockets of time on a Sunday morning over the last month and a bit. But next week, we'd like to try something a little bit different. And we'd like to invite you for kids' church time from about 9:30 to about a few minutes before 10 o'clock, about 9:50. And we'll use the same Zoom link that you've joined online church with today. So you can hop on with your families at 9:30, and Marco will have us all come together. And we'd like to stretch our pocket of kids' church time into a little bit of a longer time. And so we'll dig into God's word together. We'll worship together, we'll sing some songs, and maybe even have time for a game, all right? And I'd love it if you could join us at 9:30 next week for Kids Church, right? We'll see you soon, friends.
Thanks, Kristen. Yeah, it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to this, and we're going to continue our experiments around the place. We want to make sure that we are discipling well and worshiping well at appropriate levels. So this is, I think, going to be a great step forward for us, and I'm looking forward to it. Would you grab your Bibles? I will have some text on the screen, but it's always helpful to me to know that you will hold me accountable, that I am setting the table, but in a sense, I'll provide a little bit of the meal, but I always am hoping that as I provide a little bit of the meal, it's more for you to dig into on your own. And you obviously need to hold me accountable, because we all have to interpret the text, and that includes pastors. So we're going to be in Acts 2, but Acts 2 will be referencing Joel 2. So you could probably stick in Acts, but remember that it's going to go back to Joel. We are people who often need wake-up calls, aren't we? You've seen this many, many times, I'm sure, with the people you know, sometimes in your own life, where it's not until the crisis hits that you realize that, oh, something's wrong here. It's not until stress and anxiety have built up so much that there's a breakdown that then we go, oh, I wasn't actually living a very healthy life, was I? Or it's not until the burnout happens that we go, oh, I've been working too hard for too long, and I actually have to deal with the workaholism in me, or whatever it is. Maybe it's a health crisis. Maybe it's something in a marriage or something else. There are times when we simply normalize things that are unhealthy. And when that happens, when we start to normalize the things that are unhealthy, we need wake-up calls. And it's the wake-up call that gives us the opportunity to make different decisions. And I sort of wonder if that's what's been happening with Joel's people in the book of Joel. So let me remind you of what we've been studying, although we will get to Acts. Joel has a theme running through the book that we have not yet touched on explicitly. It's a theme called the Day of the Lord. You see this phrase used over and over again in the book of Joel. And all of the major events in the book of Joel are actually called the Day of the Lord. So the first major event in the book is when this crisis hits of the locust plagues, and they come in and they just decimate the food supply, which decimates their economy, which puts them in just absolute peril. And that event is described as the Day of the Lord. The next major event is this army that is coming to attack the people. And the text even says that God is in the process of leading the army against his own people. And that event is once again described as this coming Day of the Lord. Well, what does that mean? We'll get to that in just a second. Then later on, God showers blessings upon his people. They have turned to him, and so he starts to repair things and give them back what they'd lost. And then he says, I'm going to pour out my spirit in the coming days. And the pouring out of the Spirit is then also described as the day of the Lord. And then you move on into chapter 3. And God says, I'm setting a time when I am going to bring the people who have been oppressing you into judgment. And he once again calls that the day of the Lord. In fact, this is a phrase that isn't just used in Joel. It's a phrase that probably arose among the people. And they started saying at one point in their history, you know, God's going to set a day when he's going to make things right. When everyone who's been hurting us, he's going to deal with them. And that's going to be God's day, the day of the Lord. But the Hebrew prophets take that phrase that people have been using and turn it on its head and say, the day of the Lord is going to come, but it's probably not going to go well for you guys if you don't turn around. And it's that moment of wake-up call. So there are other days of the Lord that are described in the Old Testament. When Judah goes into exile, that is described as the day of the Lord. When Babylon is judged for that exile, that is once again described as the day of the Lord. This is, in other words, it's a phrase that it's an expression that means this is a period of time when God intervenes. You know, history had just been moving along, and then all of a sudden, God steps in and intervenes. And the Hebrew way of describing that is the day of the Lord. And these days of the Lord, when God shows up and makes things happen, are a day where it's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call where people then have a chance to make a decision. And when the locusts come and just destroy everything, what do the people do? They have a wake-up call, and they go, we need to call this solemn assembly together. We need to fast and repent. What happens when the army comes? When the army comes against the people, once again, they're gathering together. We're going to call a solemn assembly, they say, and they return to the Lord, and they recommit themselves to him. They repent of the ways that they've been wandering. We were living in unhealthy ways, and now it's time to make a different decision. And then we see as the Lord looks ahead in Joel and says, there's a day coming when I'm going to pour out my Spirit on everyone. This is actually once again described as the day of the Lord. And it is a day of decision because right after he says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all these people. Your sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Your old men are going to dream dreams. Your young men are going to see visions, etc. This is the day of the Lord. And then he says, the very last line of that is, and all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The day of the Lord is a day of decision. It's a chance to wake up and go, oh, we had been living in unhealthy ways. And that is the way that Peter describes and interprets Joel's prophecy as he applies it during the day of Pentecost. So Stu has already mentioned and quoted part of that passage. We are only going to take sections of it. We're not going to go to the part that he was quoting. It's much longer than what I am going to cover here. But what I am going to cover is pretty important because he's calling for a decision. Ultimately, Peter, the whole speech has the main point at the end is I'm calling for a decision here. God is at work, and now it's time to decide how we are going to respond to it. So it's Pentecost Sunday. Not just today, but the first Pentecost Sunday. And the setting that Peter, before he stands up, the scene that's happening at the moment is all of these loyal Jewish people from all over the empire have come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. This is one of the feasts that God had said several times a year, you're going to come and gather and worship me together. It was a feast around harvest. They're celebrating the fact that God has given them a harvest. And God sends his Spirit on his disciples. And the disciples stand up and they start prophesying. They start interpreting reality for the people around them. And they say, another day of the Lord is coming. So let me share my screen with you and we're going to read this text together. Peter is going to interpret reality for the people around them. Peter stood up. So this is Acts 2, starting at verse 16. Peter stood up and said, this thing that's just happened where the Spirit's been poured out, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. That's what they're doing. It's not about the speaking in tongues. The speaking in tongues is simply getting the prophetic message to the people who can understand, so that those people will understand it. They're going to understand the prophecy in their own language. The prophecy is coming. This is what's happening. The spirit is being poured out, and here's why. He says, I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. This is just a way of saying, we say something was an earth-shattering event, but it doesn't mean that the earth split. This is just their way of saying this is an earth-shattering event. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood before the great and coming and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the end of him quoting Joel. And now he's going to interpret this for his people. So skip down to verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, he's just been describing Jesus' crucifixion and who Jesus is. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. This promise is for them. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to that day, which means that the harvest was a whole lot more than just about fruit, right? So Peter stands up as a prophet and he interprets the reality of what is happening for people who don't currently understand it. He says, the day of the Lord is here. That's why he's quoting Joel. Joel says, this is the day of the Lord. It's here, it's coming. And here's what this means for everyone. Why is God doing this? God is doing this because although you crucified Jesus, and he goes on at length to say, you crucified Jesus. And we need to hear that Jesus died because of us. We need to own that. I love, and I've said this many times, but I love that cross that we have at the front of Unity, where we put red paint on our hands and put it on the cross and said, we all have blood on our hands. It's our blood. It's Jesus' blood. And we need to repent. And that's what Peter calls them to. This is a day of decision. The day of the Lord is a day of decision, and it is a time to repent. And he says, come out of this corrupt generation. Your society is going one direction, and Jesus is going a different one. And there's an opportunity here. So repent, come to Jesus, and be baptized, which is a metaphor for repentance. It's an enacted metaphor. It's a symbolic action for repentance. We were going one direction and we died to that way of going our own way. And now we're going to go the other direction. We are going to follow Jesus. We're going to live entirely for him instead. Peter is telling these people, this is the day of the Lord, and it is a day of decision. And remember whom he is addressing. Peter's talking to people who aren't just watching Zoom in their pajamas. Peter's talking to people who traveled hundreds of miles, some of them, to be there, which is why they speak different languages, which is why the Spirit needs to make sure that their prophecy is heard in their language, because they grew up really far away from Jerusalem. These are the most loyal and God-fearing Jewish people that there are. These are God's people. The most loyal of God's people are there worshiping. And God, and Peter still says, it's time for you, most loyal people, to repent. Pentecost is a day when God's people become more God's people. What if Pentecost is a day for Christians to become Christ followers, where maybe we took it somewhat seriously, but there's still a lot of repenting that needs to happen. Repentance is not a one-time thing for those who are still unconverted. Repentance is an ongoing practice that we have where we try to clean the slate as best we can and as God gives us ability so that we may be right with Him in right relationship together. Now, here's my question for you. What if the pandemic is another day of the Lord? I'm not saying He sent it. I don't have the authority to say that. But what if it is still being used by God as a day of decision? What if this is another time where God is intervening in our lives and asking us to make a choice? Were we really serious about Jesus? Do we actually want the Spirit? Let me give you three quick reasons why I suspect that this might be another one of those days of the Lord where God's asking for a decision. First of all, it's just some of the changes I'm seeing in the way that I'm interacting with God in my own life. And maybe some of you are experiencing that as well. It seems like God is touching down in new ways. And I've just been asking God over and over again, like, give me the gift of repentance. Let's clear this slate. Let's be right. Because, you know, I notice in Joel that it, before the Spirit is promised to be poured out, these people are repenting. That comes up twice. I'm hearing that, reading about revivals that took place. And when revivals take place, they take place when people have or are brought to the point of repentance. So I don't want, and you know, the other reason is that, you know, the theme has been coming up as I've been talking with people, even last week and in our interactions, people were saying, like, sometimes we put barriers between ourselves and God. So, yeah, I'm hearing stories. Reason number two, I'm hearing stories of God changing people's lives. Renee shared last week and essentially said, you know, this has been a wake-up call and we weren't really that healthy and God's bringing us to this point of decision. I'm hearing some prophets speaking up. Not in the incoming message from the big giant head like we talked about last week. Nothing crazy like that. Simply got a person who says, you know, I think God might be doing something here. And they share it with someone. And they submit it to others to say, you know, what do you think? I think God's doing something here. Reason number three. I think we're hitting a turning point in the church. And I don't just mean Unity Baptist Church. I'm talking the church. We're shifting our practices, which is causing us to reflect in big ways on what is important. We're asking ourselves, how do we achieve our mission and yet hold loosely to the old ways that we were trying to accomplish it? Now, Jesus talks about putting new wine in new wine skins, and this might be a shift for the church, globally even. So, those are a couple of suggestions. I'd like to give you 3 or 4 minutes to talk in small groups together and ask one another or share how might God be working during this time in you personally, in church, in the world. And you could just, you don't have to say, this is the way God's doing it. You just say, you know, this is just something I've been wondering about. Possibly God's doing this. And let me give you a hint as you discuss that. Look not just for the highs. We've certainly experienced some good things, right? The pandemic hasn't been all bad for everyone. One of the most common things people say is, I've got more time and more time with my family. And those are good things. But also look at the lows. Look at the places where it's been hard for you and talk about maybe why that is and what God is exposing during that time. Whether or not you share that with your group, now that's up to you. But I'd invite you and encourage you to ask what God is unearthing during some of those difficult times. So 3 or 4 minutes, share quickly, then we'll come back and interact. Welcome back, everyone. So are there some brave people who would like to say, here's what came up in our group? What here's something that we've been just mulling over, or I've been mulling over. Here's something God's been doing. Who would like to share a little bit? Feel free to go down to the participants button and click that hand. And when you raise the hand, Marco and I will take a look, and Marco will unmute you, and we can interact for just a little bit. I think I saw Kent's hand. Did I? Kent, yes. Go ahead, Kent.
Yeah, I found it really easy. Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
People are just more open when you do get to see them out in public to spiritual things. They're just more than willing to talk and just share their hearts, whether believer, not yet believers or believers, you know. And I find it very exciting. One fellow last Sunday I was talking to in Kamloops, he was 74 years old. He was blind. He had the same affliction as Ken Warmold here. And he was amazed that I knew what it was. But anyway, at the end, he said this weird statement out of the blue. He said, you know, you can be spiritual without being a religious nut. And I thought, wow. And then the steam whistle from across the river went on, and he says, it's 5 o'clock, it's quitting time, I'm going for supper. And then we left. But amazing conversation with this fellow. And he told me his life story, and he found out 2 years ago at 74 years young that he had triplets from a relationship which was just a one night stand many years ago. And I'm kind of going, whoa. And he himself grew up with a single mom. So, you know, people are just opening up their lives and just sharing. So be open, guys. You know, there's lots of opportunities out there. And keep your physical distance. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks, that's Kent. One of my experiences, you know.
That's great. Thank you, Kent. I think you're right that, thank you for sharing that observation, that people are more willing to talk in general and even open to things that they weren't open before, because it's been an unsettling time for people. And sort of, we thought the ground beneath us was really firm, and suddenly we're going, oh, this is a lot more shaky than I thought. What am I going to reach out for? And we want to be people who can say, here's more solid ground, and here's where you can reach out. Thanks for being one of those people and for sharing that with us, Kent. What other things came up for you guys as you were having your discussions? What are your musings around here? I wonder if this is where God might be at work now. Well, thanks for that. Let's close with something here. I think it's really important to keep asking this question about how might God be at work. And I know it's not an easy question to answer, but I think it is probably one of the most important questions for us during this time. And we need to be using this time to make our decisions about who it is that we're following. And let's not normalize the unhealthy things that we were in before. So let's use this as a time for a wake-up call and an opportunity to change. You know, Winston Churchill is famous for saying, don't waste a crisis. And, you know, the interesting thing about the book of Joel is in the day of the Lord, that theme, there's always this opportunity to make a new decision and to return to God, except in chapter 3, when the day of the Lord, God kind of says, the day of the Lord is coming and I'm setting a date when I'm going to judge. And there may not be any more time after that. And so let's use this time and this crisis as an opportunity to change. So if that's baptism for you, let's talk. If it's repentance, let's talk. Go do it. Let's talk if you need help with it. If you are inviting the Spirit to have his way, let's make this an opportunity where we say, Spirit, come, pour yourself out. Let's be asking these questions about what's going on during this time and how is God using it to redeem his people and his world. When we were in council a couple of weeks ago, Ron Murdoch shared a verse that's just been, I've been mulling over. It comes in an obscure place in the Old Testament, First Chronicles 12. And it's this really strange thing where there's a shift that's been happening. And everything looked firm and secure. The kingdom is under Saul. And then it seems like God is doing something new with this young upstart named David. And the leaders understand that God is doing something different. And so the verse says that these leaders sort of saw this political shift taking place and says that they understood their times and they knew what Israel should do. They were people who understood that God was at work in a new way and they wanted to keep in step with the Spirit, doing what he is doing and being in touch with him and following him during a crisis. So that is my prayer for us and for you this week. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would make us people who understand our times and know what to do, that we would be asking for you to pour out your Spirit in new ways, bringing the gift of repentance, the gift of drawing near to you as you draw near to us, that we would be, like James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That this would be that opportunity for a life change. If we haven't been baptized, I pray that you would take us into the waters of baptism. If we have been baptized, I pray that you would help us to live out that baptism as people who have died to self and been raised to new life in Christ. And I pray that as you are making changes in the world, that you would equip us as individuals, but also as your church to respond in appropriate and redemptive and helpful ways, interpreting reality for people and saying, this is what God's doing. And we want to be a part of it. So Lord, make us people who are following you during this new time. In your name I pray, amen. Well, friends, we've reached the end of our service and it's been good to be together. Thanks for joining us today. We are going to go to a chat, but just before we do, just an announcement. Are the bunnies here? I'm just taking a look for them.
Yeah.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, we are.
Okay. Do you guys want to share a little bit about this scavenger hunt that's coming up on Friday? You've invited the church to a scavenger hunt?
Yeah. Abigail and Mima have been organizing it. They were kind of, I don't know if they were voluntold or volunteer or what. But basically, our small group was chatting, saying it, we're looking at doing something to kind of get together, something that would be kind of fun. But that still helps maintain social distancing. And then we decided, let's invite more people. So basically, Mima and Abigail have put together kind of a list of places to go to in Red Deer. So you can find and do a video or a photo of insert blank. On Friday, this Friday, June 5th, is the Friday?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. Meeting at the church at 6:30. And then you'll get your list. We'll go from there and then figure out where we're ending up after that. We can let you know more details of as things go on. So if you could just send a quick email, even to the church, that info@unitybaptist or us, whatever email works better for you. Then by Wednesday, then the girls will know kind of what they need to prepare and those kinds of things. Cool. The cat. Jeez.
All right, cool. Thank you. And also, as Kristen mentioned, so starting next week, we're going to have Kids Church in a different format. It's going to start at 9:30, and it is going to be one. It's not just sort of drop your kids off and leave. It's going to be one where the parents are going to help guide them through it. So Kristen will facilitate from her end, but there will be other interaction, and parents, we're going to want you to help disciple your kids in this as well. And then, as we said, it will be the same call. So for those who are logging on close to the time, it'll still be the normal experience for you. If you haven't come with kids, you'll log in at just before 10 and you'll move into a waiting room as always. So you won't be interrupting anything. And then we will start and move into our worship service. And I will change the format a little bit so that we are, and we'll just continue experimenting. So. We'll see how it goes, but I'm looking forward to trying something different and seeing our kids blessed in new ways. Are we going to a chat now? Yes, we are. I just saw it pop up on the chat function there. So there's a link that you can click on now if you would like to join us for just mingling after the service like we would normally do around the building. So feel free to click on that and I'll just offer a benediction. And Scott, once again, thanks for being here and thanks for doing what you're doing. Much appreciated. So to those who aren't joining us afterwards, adios, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Go in peace, my friends. It's been good being with you. Take care.